Friday, November 22nd, 1963, was John F. Kennedy's 1,036th day in office. It turned out to be his last. He was killed that day by Lee Harvey Oswald. The president began the day in Fort Worth, Texas, seeking support for his new frontier policies and building momentum for the 1964 presidential election. Vice President Lyndon Johnson, a Texas native, was with him. At 8 a.m., the president began a full day of appearances, starting with a speech at the Hotel Texas to the Fort Worth Chamber of Commerce.
So this country, which desires only to be free, which desires to be secure, which desires to live at peace for 18 years under three different administrations, has borne more than its share of the burden, has stood watch for more than its number of years. I don't think that we are fatigued or tired. We would like to live as we once lived, but history will not permit it. The communist balance of power is still strong. The balance of power is still on the side of freedom. We are still the keystone and the arch of freedom, and I think we will continue to do as we have done in our past, our duty, and the people of Texas will be in the lead. So I'm glad to come. I'm glad to come to this state, which has played such a significant role in so many efforts in this century, and to say that here in Fort Worth, you people will be playing a major role in the maintenance of the security of the United States for the next 10 years. I'm confident, as I look to the future, that our chances for security, our chances for peace, are better than they've been in the past. And the reason is because we're stronger. And with that strength is a determination to not only maintain the peace, but also the vital interests of the United States. To that great cause, Texas and the United States are committed. Thank you.
Those would be his final public words. Hours later, he was dead. Coming up, recordings from that fateful day in Dallas. You'll hear radio calls between the White House and Air Force One while President Kennedy's body returned to Washington. Lyndon Johnson's first words upon landing at Andrews Air Force Base, now as president. And the first calls of the Johnson administration.
Before we get to this week's episode, we want to take a minute to ask for your help. Your financial support will ensure that C-SPAN can continue to produce podcasts that inform you about national politics, introduce you to the latest nonfiction books, and provide valuable historical context to today's news. Make a donation today and be a part of C-SPAN's future. Visit c-span.org/donate.
13 minutes. That's how long the flight took on Air Force One from Carswell Air Force Base in Fort Worth to Love Field in Dallas. At 11:55 a.m., the presidential motorcade left on its journey to the Dallas Trade Mart, where President Kennedy was to speak to the Texas Citizens Council at 1 p.m. More than 200,000 people lined the motorcade's route. Among them was President Kennedy's assassin, Lee Harvey Oswald. As it was passing the Texas School Book Depository, gunshots rang out. In the back seat of the convertible presidential limousine, the president slumped toward First Lady Jackie Kennedy.
KXOL Information 24 News Bulletin. Here is a bulletin from Dallas. President Kennedy was shot today just as his motorcade left downtown Dallas. Mrs. Kennedy jumped up and grabbed Mr. Kennedy. She cried, "Oh no." The motorcade sped on.
Less than 30 minutes later at Parkland Memorial Hospital, Father Oscar Huber delivered the president's last rites. White House Press Secretary Pierre Salinger, Secretary of State Dean Rusk, and several other cabinet members were on a plane traveling to Japan.
Wayside, this is Crown. Situation is room is on. Go ahead.
Situation room, this is Wayside. Do you read me, over?
This is Situation Room. I read you. Go ahead.
Give me all available information on President. Over.
All available information on President follows. He and Governor Connally of Texas have been hit in the car in which they were riding. We do not know how serious the situation is. We have no information. Mr. Bromley Smith is back here in the Situation Room now. We are getting our information over the tickers. Over.
That is affirmative, affirmative. Please keep us advised on here. This plane on which Secretary of State, other cabinet ministers headed for Japan, turning around, returning to Honolulu. We'll arrive there approximately 2 hours. Over.
This is Wayside. Understand those departing Honolulu are turning around and we'll be back there in about 2 hours. Is that correct? Over.
That is affirmative. We'll need all information to decide whether some party should go directly to Dallas. Over.
This is Situation Room. Say again your last, please.
We'll need to be kept advised so we can determine whether some members of this party should go directly to Dallas. Over.
Roger. You wish information as to whether some members of that party should go to Dallas.
Affirmative.
Do you have anything else, Wayside?
No, any other information, get a hold of as rapidly as possible.
All right. The Associated Press is coming out now with a bulletin to the effect that they believe the president was hit in the head. That just came in. Over. Hold on the line there, Wayside. We have some more information coming up. Wayside, this is Situation Room. I read from the AP bulletin, Kennedy apparently shot in head. He fell face down in back seat of his car. Blood was on his head. Mrs. Kennedy cried, oh no, and tried to hold up his head. Connolly remained half seated, slumped to the left. There was blood on his face and forehead. The president and the governor were rushed to Parkland Hospital near the Dallas Trademark, where Kennedy was to have made a speech. Over.
This is Situation Room, relay following to Wayside. We have report quoting Mr. Kilduff in Dallas that the president is dead, that he died about 35 minutes ago.
At 2 p.m., the president's body was removed from Parkland Hospital, taken to Air Force One, and flown back to Washington. You'll hear the codename Duplex. That's for Gerald Bain, one of the president's top Secret Service agents.
Air Force One, Andrew, is Duplex is on. Duplex is on, sir.
Duplex is on. This is Dr. Berkeley. What arrangements have been made in regards to the reception of the president?
Everybody aboard Air Force One, everyone aboard Air Force One, with the exception of the body, will be choppered into the south ground. The body will be choppered to the Naval Medical Center at Bethesda. Over.
With the president's body on its way to Washington, Assistant Press Secretary Matt Kilduff, using the codename Warrior, radioed press aide Andy Hatcher, codename Winner, about what to do with the press when Air Force One lands. Volunteer was the code name for Lyndon Johnson. 99 minutes. That's how much time passed from President Kennedy's death to Lyndon Johnson's swearing in. His first act as the nation's new leader was to call John Kennedy's mother, Rose. His wife, Lady Bird, now the new First Lady, joined him on the call.
Apollo, are you up?
Hello?
Stand by one now, please.
Crown, this is Air Force One. Do you read us? Over.
I'm reading you loud and clear.
is Kennedy standing by. Are you ready with volunteer? Go ahead.
Yes, we are ready. Can you put her on and I'll turn her over to him. Over.
Roger, roger. She's coming on now. AF1 from Crown, Mrs. Kennedy on. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Mrs. Kennedy. Hello, Mrs. Kennedy. We're talking from the airplane. Can you hear us all right? Over.
Thank you. Hello.
Yes, Mrs. Kennedy, I have Mr. Johnson for you there.
Air Force One arrived at Andrews Air Force Base at 6 p.m. Attorney General Robert Kennedy, the president's brother, was there. He, along with Jackie Kennedy, accompanied the body to Bethesda Naval Hospital. Meanwhile, President Johnson spoke to the crowd at Andrews.
This is a sad time for all people. We have suffered a loss that cannot be waived. For me, it is a deep personal tragedy. I know that the world shares the sorrow that Mrs. Kennedy and her family bear. I will do my best. That is all I can do. I ask for your help and God's.
The nation also heard that night from President Kennedy's predecessor, Dwight Eisenhower.
I share the sense of shock and dismay that the entire nation must feel at the despicable act that took the life of the nation's president. On the personal side, Mrs. Eisenhower and I share the grief that Mrs. Kennedy must now feel, and we send to her our prayerful thoughts and sympathetic sentiments in this hour.
General, how would you counsel the American people at this time?
In the face of such a terrible thing, I'm sure the entire citizenry, the nation, will join as one man in expressing their, not only their grief, but their indignation at this act, and will stand faithfully behind the government.
General, could you tell us how you got the word?
I was at a meeting for the United Nations, and while there, a member of the meeting was called out and came back and told us the news, although at that time, we did not know the president was dead. We did not know when I got back here at that time that he was dead. But, matter of fact, we had the last message we had was one rather of hope. And the entire company merely paused for a minute at the request of the chairman, and each of us, in his own way, said a silent prayer for the president.
Should there be any concern, sir, over national security at a time like this?
No, I think the whole nation now would be almost all of us security agents.
Will the nation be all right in the few months ahead?
Oh, I'm not going to predict anything of that. I just say this. The American nation is a people of great common sense, and they are not going to be stampeded or bewildered.
Thank you, Mr. President. History has have assassinations affected the political course of events?
Well, of course, in Lincoln's assassination, the presidency went to a man who was a registered Democrat, Mr. Johnson. In Garfield, I doubt that there was any. And, of course, McKinley, that brought in Theodore Roosevelt. Of course, there have been other attempts in late years. Mr. Truman was at a grave threat toward to his life, and Mr. Roosevelt, just before he was inaugurated, you remember, down at, when Mayor Cermak was killed, ran a very grave risk. These things have happened, and it seems inexplicable to me, because Americans are loyal. And it's just this occasional psychopathic sort of accident that occurs, and I don't know what we can do about it.
Could you say anything, General, about how people will feel abroad from all your experience with the United Nations and others? How will it be taken abroad?
Well, I think they will be a bit bewildered. This, in the civilized countries of the world, this doesn't happen so often. And you remember in the starting of World War I, the murder of the Archduke Ferdinand, I think his name was. Well, this itself almost, one of the contributory causes to that war. And, but here, I just don't know what happens. And it, but we are a nation that where our freedoms are allowed, are observed in such a way that everybody is ready. Everybody is, you might say, capable of doing this if he's ready to put his own life on the line.
General, how will you spend the rest of today and tomorrow?
I canceled the dinner date that I had for tonight. Tomorrow, I'm going immediately to my home, and if I'm wanted for any purpose whatsoever, I will, of course, be available.
Would you have any advice for the American people at this time, General?
No, as I said, I know the American people will stand solid, and they will not be stampeded.
Thank you, Mr. President.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Good night, fellows.
President Kennedy's body left Bethesda Naval Hospital in the early morning of November 23rd. He lay in repose in the White House East Room for 24 hours. A horse-drawn caisson, the same one used for President Franklin Roosevelt less than two decades earlier, carried John Kennedy to the Capitol building. More than 300,000 people lined Pennsylvania Avenue to see it. John F. Kennedy lay in state in the Capitol Rotunda for 18 hours. 250,000 people paid their respects, some waiting as long as 10 hours in the cold before they were able to get inside. On the morning of November 25th, approximately 1 million people lined the funeral route. It stretched from the Capitol to the White House, then to St. Matthew's Cathedral, and finally to Arlington National Cemetery. Here's how it sounded on Universal News.
The cortege crosses the bridge over the Potomac River. There is a distant view of the memorial building dedicated to another martyr president, Abraham Lincoln. Now, the last goodbye to John F. Kennedy. Covered the casket is folded. It is passed from hand to hand by the honor guard. It is received by the widow. Mrs. Kennedy ignites an eternal flame at the head of her husband's grave. John Fitzgerald Kennedy reaches the end of his earthly journey. Those he loved leave him to the green hills of Arlington Cemetery.
Coming up on Presidential Recordings, Lyndon Johnson gets to work just hours after becoming president. You'll hear calls with Michigan Governor George Romney, Senate Minority Leader Everett Dirksen, FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover, and Martin Luther King Jr. You can find more presidential recordings wherever you get your podcasts. Season 1 includes more from the Johnson administration. Season 2 includes calls from the Nixon administration.